Stand by. What you hear in the next half hour could have a profound impact on your life.
Yes, it could. I'll tell you what, stuff I'm about to talk about makes all the difference in the world, that's for sure. Now look a bit at what goes on in your mind and in your head. You want to have a thought life as a Christian that is peaceful, joyful, happy, positive, and in the right place, able to walk with God? Or are you struggling with some other issues? Are you struggling with where your brain goes, your thoughts go, your heart goes, your feelings go? Well, I'm going to talk today about something that it's kind of a biblical term, but I'll explain it right down to earth real fast. I'm talking about defilement, and Christ paid for it, and what to do about it in our mind, because as Christians, we're supposed to do some certain things to be pure. Remember how in the Old Testament, you know, the priesthood was supposed to go in and minister to God inside the tabernacle, or later in the temple. And the general people wouldn't, but the priesthood would. Now, in the New Testament, we're called a royal priesthood. Why is that? Well, because like the Old Testament priest, there's a sacrifice, there's blood sprinkled, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have this white robe, white garment of holiness and righteousness, and we can go in a time, we're told in the book of Hebrews and other places, in the presence of God and be with him and minister to him and fellowship with him and speak to him and he with us. You know, we have this presence of God who's supposed to be with us all the time. And he is in us by the Spirit. We're his. We're his, like it says in 1 Peter, a royal priesthood. But there, in the Old Testament, there was an issue. The priests had to be clean. They weren't automatically clean because there was a sacrifice. They had to wash. They had to change. They had to, when they're in service, even abstain from sexual relations. They couldn't touch a dead body. There was all kinds of things that would defile them ritually. And they had to be clean from defilement before they could go in the presence of God. Even though they had the sacrifices and the blood and they could put on the robes and all that, they had to make sure they were clean as well. They had the big laver of water. They even washed. Now, there's a parallel in the New Testament for us, that not only are you acquitted, forgiven, pardoned, justified by the act of the blood of Jesus, you're born again, and now you can claim the righteousness of Christ, you and I have a responsibility to also walk with a clean heart and a clean mind, a clean spirit. And one of the things that gets to us easily in our culture is defilement. Now, let me give an example. And the reason I'm probably bringing this message up is just because this stirred up thoughts, and I should share it with you. On the weekend, Karen and I decided we would sit down. I think it was Saturday night. We have some relaxed time, and we thought we'd watch a movie. And we got, Apple TV. We just kind of browsed through some of the movies, and we found this one that has, what's his name? I can't remember his name right off. The guy that played Kirk in the new Star Trek movie, and looked pretty good. We thought it was pretty good. We started watching, and it was pretty good action and all of that. And then out of nowhere comes this gross, incredible, awful violence. It's gross. And that's it. We got up and shut it off. And you know what? Took a while to shake this from my thinking. You know, in other words, for the next 8 hours or overnight even, the picture, the image comes popping back into my mind again. It's sort of imprinted like a bright flash of light and, you know, leaves a glare in the back of your eyes and you can't see right for a while. Picture, that image, that thought of that violent murder is there, inhibiting everything else I do. That's defilement. It happens with lots of stuff. We contact it. Some of the defilement we in contact, you can't do anything about. And Christ will cleanse us and everything else. But something like this, we don't want to have. We don't want to have. And there are ways to go about living right, living clean. So that's why we recommend, for example, the movie reviews we play on here. I don't want to be defiled in my contact with the world, although you're going to be, but not because of what I do. I'm careful on the internet. I sometimes I see things on the internet that are defiling, and it's just what is there? It's on a page that it shouldn't be. How come I get this defiling-looking ad pop up on a web page about electronics or something? You know what I'm saying? It's all around us. Now, let's talk about how we are called as believers to have the peace and the joy and the rest of the Lord. And I want to share a secret with you about your life and your emotional life. Did you know this? Listen to me. Your emotions will go where your thoughts go. Your emotions will go where your thoughts go. Emotions don't necessarily ever tell you the truth. What you're feeling about something may or may not be true at all. You could feel happy or sad about something irrelevant to whether what you believe is true or not. I was thinking of an old story, newlywed couple, and as the year continues on in their first year, something happens, like the wife says, "Hun, can you take out the garbage before you go to work?" And he forgets to do it, and he goes to work, and he comes home, and she's crying. And why is she crying? "Well, you didn't take the garbage out." "Oh, well, I'll take it out now," and everything else. "Well, why are you crying? Why are you so upset?" "Oh, you don't love me. If you really love me, you'd take the garbage out," you know. And kind of projected under that thing was all these feelings about love interpreting in this certain way. Now, what's that about? Well, it's just the thinking. To the man, you know, it's just garbage. It's got to go out to the garbage pail. To this new wife, she'd asked for him to do something, and he neglected to do it, and that meant something in the relationship. You understand? And that emotionally afflicted her. Now, he's emotionally dead to it, and she was emotionally alive to it. What is that about? Well, what it's about is your emotions will go where your thinking goes. Even if what you're thinking isn't necessarily true, your feelings really can hurt. So, what if you're upset? What if you have no peace right now? What if you have complete lack of peace and joy and rest, and you're all cranked out about something? What's wrong? Well, look at your thought life, for one thing. If what you set your mind on all the time is bad news on TV, or you're focused on that on, you know, the internet, and you're prowling around there, or watching movies all the time and TV shows that exaggerate all conflict, oh this, oh that, oh that. You know, you're looking at this sort of stuff or watching movies and things where the marriage is breaking up and, you know, relationships go bad. And your mind is going to run on that gasoline you're dropping into it. You get what I'm saying? And you'll naturally attract that kind of feeling in your life. It'll stir up. And you'll naturally interpret things that are going on that way. Now, we're told in Philippians God's remedy about this. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4. He says in verse 4, "Always be full of the joy of the Lord, and I say rejoice again." Now, that's an imperative. He's saying, do it. Okay, how can I do that? "Let everyone see you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon," he says. "Rejoice, always rejoice." Well, you want, how do I do that? Can I do this? Well, keep going. We're going to find out how. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." When you go, "Well, I do, but I'm always worrying. You know, how do I get there so I can thank him? And isn't thanking him an emotional experience?" Well, where's your mind? He says, if you do this, do what? If you're always thanking him and praying about everything, he says, you'll experience God's peace. Have you got peace? This peace is more wonderful than anything the human mind can understand. It's a peace that will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ. Ooh, the peace of God, just like a fortress around your innermost being, around your heart. Now, here's the key. How do you get this? You might be saying, I need this peace. I need this joy. Where am I supposed to get it? My mind is out of control. Guess what? It starts with what you do with your mind. And here's the verse. "Now, dear brothers, let me say one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Whatever is pure is another version of that. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is true. Whatever is honorable. Whatever is right. Whatever is of good report. If there's anything excellent and worthy of praise, dwell on these things, says another version. Dwell on these things. Fix your thoughts on the things that are true and honorable and right. That is the root to what he was talking about. Not worrying about anything. Having your heart full of praise and thanksgiving. Experience of peace of God. And being full of the joy of the Lord. Why do I say that's the root there? Because your emotions will go where your mind goes. Now, I know some Christians that are continuously critical. You know those kind of people? Always analyzing what the people in their life and their relationships are saying and doing, and critical of them. Maybe even worse, supposing things about what they're doing and saying, and supposing things about their motive. Just being, there's nothing worse than critical Christians, cranky critical Christians. And I know some. Why? They're not controlling their thinking. Maybe what they're exposed to at work all the time is other people who are critical, and they just bring it home. They become critical. You know, this stuff can defile you at work. You're listening to other people talking and criticizing and accusing, and you can bring home that attitude with you and import it into your family and in your home, and you become accusing and criticizing your husband or your wife or your kids or your relations or whatever. And besides all that, there are such things as demonic spirits, which are accusing critical spirits. After all, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And what do you think will happen to you if you pick up on that spiritual atmosphere and into your mind you start entertaining accusations of other people? The accuser of the brethren is at work. And you start to think and then say what you think negatively and accusatory about other people. Now, I want to throw something at you. And now this is where it really can hurt if it applies to you. Listen to me. Ask yourself, or maybe even ask the Lord to help you see it. Are you siding with the accuser of the brethren? Are you joining forces with the accuser of the brethren or the accuser? See, you can be saying the same thing the devil says against people. And especially we can do that against leaders, against our city government, against our federal government, against our prime minister. We start to side with the accuser, just like the news media does all the time. Without realizing it, they've bought into the spirit of the age, which is the accuser. And we get siding with it. We get directed by it. We get eaten up with it. We start thinking that way about all that we're doing and saying, and things in our own life aren't this way, and I want it that way, and why aren't people doing this? Why aren't people doing that? Back and forth we go, and pretty soon we're in our own nasty, defiled spiral where, guess what? There's no joy, there's no peace, there's worry, and all these ideas and thoughts are just running around in your brain. And it's hard to settle on good things from God. It's hard to even pray and receive because what you're praying for and what you're asking about doesn't fit in accordance with God's heart and plan. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why? Because they're sinners already. God loves people even when they're doing evil things. God loves people who are like us. God loves them. Now, if you're going to be on God's side, you can't be on the accuser's side. You've got to be on the Redeemer's side, who takes the negative and starts to apply the blood of Jesus, applies the cleansing power of the Lord, applies the refreshing, starting with your own life, your own thoughts, and you say, I'm going to set my mind on the things above. Where Christ is, I'm going to set my mind. And a set means you have the power to do it. That's the amazing part of being a Christian. Power of sin's broken. You have actually got power now to set your mind on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is lovely, anything of good repute, think on these things. And you have the power to stop the negative right in its tracks. Turn off that TV, close that newspaper, turn off that computer, stop that conversation. Say to the believers, whoever you're talking to or being critical of others, I'm sorry, I have to go right now, and don't participate any longer. Just say goodbye and be a different person. Becoming a blessing person. It's a different spirit. It's a different life. It's a different flow. And I'm going to share about that tomorrow. So meanwhile, what can I say? Hey, just set your mind in the right place. Good things of God, because He redeemed you. Okay. Come back with more.
Stand by. What you hear in the next half hour could have a profound impact on your life.
Oh, yes, it could. Way too many of you are captive to problems in your brain and your mind. Your emotions overrule you. There's no peace. You want the joy of the Lord, you don't have it. You're just worry, worry, worry. Find that you're critical of people around you, critical of those in your family, and you wonder why what's going on inside of you is not very nice. And we were talking a lot about yesterday about how the brain works, and that God has called us, first of all, to be free of defilement from the world, and our mind to be free and open so that we can have the peace of God, the joy of God, the love of God working in us, and then we affect people around us. Now, I just want to recap slightly. You know that where you set your mind affects your emotions. You know that, right? I hope you know that. Your emotions don't run all by them lonesome. They don't run all by themselves. They kind of follow around your attention, what you set your attention on. If you need proof about it, like, for example, on Mother's Day, I was watching a YouTube video of Shirley Caesar, and she's a great black gospel singer, you know, and I actually played it on here on Mother's Day. And but she had a video called Don't Send Your Mama Away. And it's a story all about, the bad son and the good son. And the good son became a doctor and mama supported him. And eventually he took, mama in. But after a while, him and his wife couldn't put up with her anymore. And they didn't like her praying in her room and all that when they had their other doctor friends over. And they were going to take her to the nursing home, you know. And on the way to the nursing home, they meet the bad son in his ragged, tagged old car and stuff. And he stops and says, Mom, I was just coming to see you. And tells a story about how he just got saved and changed. And when he finds out she's going to the nursing home, he says, Mom, you come and stay with me. And she's glad to do it. And he says, I don't have much, but I want you with me. And he's a real changed person. Well, you know what? The video does it. And probably what I just said doesn't. But it makes you emotional. You get tears in your eyes. Why? Because your mind's going there. And your mind goes there, your emotions go there. Now, we are talking a bit about the struggles we might have. Like, for example, in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it was, we were looking at how what happens is, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He says, has always the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in everything, all the time. And you go, how on earth can I do that? How can I make myself rejoice? Things aren't very good. And I don't have any peace. And I'm worried about this. And so-and-so did that. And blah, 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 blah. And you start going on and on about this stuff. And what I pointed out yesterday was, you're letting criticism rule your mind. Or you're letting defilement come in because you're reading stuff, watching stuff, looking on the internet at certain things which are unclean things. Gave an example about watching a movie and suddenly it's a horrid murder surprised us right out of nowhere. And it just turned the movie off, but the image stays in our thoughts for like 12 hours. There it is, coming back, popping up again and again and again. How do you get in the presence of God with that popping up all the time? Sexual images do the same thing. All this sort of stuff. That's defilement. Christ meant for us to be clean. we looked at yesterday was the way to be clean is, first of all, just like the priesthood of old, we have Christ in our life. He's paid for our sin. Yes, we're forgiven. He's paid for our sin. Secondly, like the priests of old, we wash and are clean and maintain our cleanliness and put on the robes of righteousness before we enter into the presence of the Lord in that tabernacle of heaven, you know, with the Lord. Spend time with God. You want the peace of God? Peace of God comes from being with God. You want to be with God? You got to be cleansed. It's just the way it works. You might be forgiven, but you could be dragging along a whole lot of unclean crud around with your life. Oh, yeah. And don't, you know, it's like this. You might have a glass full of water that you're going to drink, and you put 1 teaspoon of sewage in it. That clean water won't help that teaspoon of sewage one bit. You'll be sick if you drink it. And so we want to be clean. And we found out from Philippians, you, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, set your mind on those things. Where you set your mind is so very important. Now, I want to talk about the next thing about this is, instead of being a people who are caught up in this critical age where people point fingers and accuse constantly and worry about problems, like if you watch the news, most of what you're going to see is negative. So-and-so did this. They got away with that. There's no justice here. This bad thing happened there. These people died over here. On and on and on and on and on. Criticize the government. Criticize this. Why did he do that? Blame, blame, blame. Courthouse, blame this person. They did that. You know, on and on and on. Our age is the age of the accuser of the brethren and the accuser of everybody at work in the public square. Through the media. The accuser of the brethren works through the media, works through Twitter. My goodness, Twitter is like the mouthpiece of the accuser of the brethren, who is Satan himself, the accuser of everybody. Not only that, Christians become the accuser of the brethren, critical, critical Christians. So you got to set your mind in the right place. What are we supposed to be like instead? Well, here's what Jesus said. Instead, he said, bless those that despitefully use you. What I say to you, love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. And whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other one. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him as well. Boy, talk about a different attitude. That's what we're supposed to be like. Bless those that despitefully use us, the Bible says. Return blessing. You go, how do you do it? Where do we get this blessing? Well, I want to tell you a story how I first began moving in this. I went in about 1997 or 8 to Argentina, to their great revival in Argentina. We were at Pastor Hector Jimenez Church, and the congregations of people all over Argentina made up the second largest church in the world. I mean, this big theater downtown sat a couple thousand people, and they would have 10 services a day, 7 days a week. And that was just one place. They would, for Christmas service, rent out the massive 90,000-seat stadium and have two big Christmas meetings to try to get all the people there for Christmas service. Couldn't get them all in one place. This is what it was like, the revival. Now, we had a great time, and I won't go into the time we had because it was just awesome and preached and ministered and out to the maximum security prison where there was, a whole wing set up for the Christians, people being saved everywhere. The presence of God felt everywhere. But on the way home in the plane, I started asking God, what did you want to show me? Because I know you wanted me to go here. And the Lord started reminding me of what they did all the time. They want to bless. They were going out of their way to bless. They had learned something in the presence and flow of God, how to move in the kingdom and how to move in the flow. And it is the blessing. They want to bless. They would bless. They would serve you. They'd give gifts to you. They'd do this, that, and the other thing. In fact, one time, our little group, you know, we were there for the services, and we'd go downstairs to a hospitality room, and we had a hostess that would look after our 7 or 8 people. And this would go on. We'd be there for a bunch of services every day and go out and do other things. One day we go down to the hospitality room, and that lady's not there. And they're going to give us some cold drinks and stuff. And Another lady comes in and she serves us. Well, halfway through this, the first lady, who normally does it, comes in and she starts this little argument with the second lady. And I turned to my friend next to me who spoke Spanish and said, what are they arguing about? Oh, he says, well, the lady who usually looks after us is saying to the other one, you took away my chance to bless them. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. What is this? They wanted to flow in blessing. They found out something. And one of the scriptures that God brought to my attention was in the book of Galatians, where it talks about being blessed to be a blessing. For example, in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about this. It says, through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he gave to Abraham. And we Christians received the promised Holy Spirit through faith. And you say, well, what was the blessing to Abraham about? Why have we received the blessing that's the same as Abraham? Well, the blessing to Abraham, according to Galatians 3:8, was that all the nations would be blessed. In other words, God blessed Abraham so that the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we are getting blessed with that Abraham's blessing. Why? So that you and I would be a blessing to the nations of the earth. That's why they flowed in that and wouldn't stop flowing in that in Argentina. They found out that the kingdom of God is God's love at work and flowing. And if you want to flow in the kingdom, you want to flow in Christ, you want to flow in good things from God, you got to get in the flow of God's love and blessing and grace to people around you and to the world. That's why you bless and those that despitefully use you. Different attitude. Different flow. It's not about performing all kinds of things and trying to do stuff for people. And there's no performance in this. It's entering into the heart of the Father and the heart of Christ, which is He loves the world. He gave Himself to the world and paid the price. He flows in His love and blessing, and you're being blessed so that you would be a blessing to those around you, starting with your family, starting with your business relationship, starting with anybody you connect to. That's what we are about as a radio station, to bless the city, bless the listeners. We say God's blessing, God's love on you. Now, what's this got to do with everything to do with your thoughts? Simple. You got to change your thinking. You change your thinking. It is not about anything ever again about what people do wrong. It's not about how you were treated ever again. You know, God will defend you. He'll look after your stuff. You just present it to Him and do what He shows you to do. He'll look after things. But you've got to realize that Satan's tactic is to get you to be a critical, negative thinker, to be a defiled thinker. And then what he can do is he steals your joy, you got no more peace, your mind's running around, and there's all kinds of crud in that, and it just keeps the cycle going. Now, this puts me in the thought of, who have you got in your life that stirs up negative junk in your heart? I've had a number of people. I remember having ministers in my life, other pastors, who did negative, junky stuff. And you know, when I started dealing with this, finally I started realizing, wait a minute, it's not about what they're doing. What they were doing was wrong and against me. But it's not about what they're doing that counts. I realized my reaction was just as bad. I was upset and angry and negative and jealous and phew. Lots of stupid stuff going on inside of me that was killing my peace. And then I started forgiving deliberately. I had to go past that. Started blessing deliberately. Had to go past that. Started setting my mind on whatever is right and true and lovely and peaceful and of good report. Had to go past that. Had to change my heart and say, God, why is my heart not wanting to go there, because you come into my life and ask Him to cleanse me of how this whole thing had defiled me. The experiences, the words. People can say words to you that get into your system. They stick in your brain. They stick in your heart, and they become negative points. It's like an infection that never leaves until you turn it around by blessing and forgiving and asking God to root it out, and he can take it out, and you'd be clean, and you know what? You can truly love and bless the worst person in your life and mean it. Doesn't mean you approve what they did. But, oh my gosh, the love of God can start to work in you. This is the kind of person God is supposed to wanting you to be like. You are meant to be different than you are. Yes. Meant to be a transformed person and changed. You are. Meant to flow truly in the blessings of God to those around you. And bless those that despitefully use you. Bless and do not curse. And you become part of the kingdom of God and God's answer for the needs of the world. Where do you stand? You got negative people in your life? You got people right now that are giving you trouble and all kinds of trouble? Bless them. Whatever's in your heart, get clean. So you got the peace of God. Shift your thinking. Don't listen to the accuser of the brethren and side with him. Side with Christ. He laid his life down. Even for those that hated him, he laid his life down. Put yourself there. Get into the blessing of Abraham. He was blessed so he'd be a blessing to the world. Get into the redemption of Christ and the love of God. Flow in it. Set your mind on it. Set your thinking where it should be. Imagine what will happen to your relatives, your work situation, the people around you, and whatever, Campbell River, when you just flow and overflow the good things of God. I tell you what, you can change the spiritual atmosphere around you by entering into the good spirit of the Lord. May God bless you, and may Campbell River be blessed, revolutionary blessed in Jesus' name.